The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed, on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
Welcome to the Orange is the New Black podcast. I'm your host, Ace Boogie, joined by my co-host, Zim. Zim, say what's up.
Hello, world. We got another amazing podcast for you guys tonight. I know it's the bye week. I know a lot of people taking breaks off, but the Orange is the New Black podcast is never taking off. And luckily for us, we have a king, the dream, Adeniji tonight. And he's here live with us, starting right guard for the Cincinnati Bengals right now. Been a crazy season so far. We're at the halfway point. Hakeem, say hello to the people tonight and tell the people how you feeling.
What's going on with it, man? I'm just chilling, enjoying the bye week. Good to be back on the field with my guys.
Yeah, that definitely. Like, me and Zim talked about it, and I felt like you were a sleeper in the offseason, and I really felt like you would kind of come in and fill that void that we had at the right guard position. But obviously, you ended up having the pec injury. Can you talk to the people just what it was like to kind of battle back for that and get back to that starting position?
Yeah, man, like, it was definitely unfortunate, you know, putting in all the work in the offseason and coming in and having it happen at the time that it did, but just kind of trying to stay in good spirits and play my role and be ready whenever the team needed me, and yeah, just staying ready for real. I mean, that was it, and just every single day, just taking every single day, just one day at a time, and helping out. We got three rooks in the room, just helping them out, and just learning and doing the best that I could be to stay ready. So when the day came, which it came sooner than, you know, I might have thought, you know, that I'd be able to, you know, go out there and perform.
I got a two-part question. When for someone that's never played football, when you tear your pec, do you know right away?
That was my first time, and yeah, I kind of knew something. It was kind of funky when it happened. I was like, I'm a pretty, like, tough dude, but, like, when it happened, I was like, this ain't right.
You was like, let me stop what I'm doing.
I was like, that was something right there. That was
this different.
Yeah.
what?
You try to make yourself think it's not as serious as it is, but, I mean, when you look back on it, like, when it happens, you can tell.
So then, like, when that happens, though, like, and not to go into heavy detail with the actual injury or whatever, but, like, when that happens, like, did you stop what you were doing for the rest of the day? Or were you like, let me just kind of keep on trying to just go through it? Maybe I just kind of just it's like
stop, man. I was mad because I was like, man, just the timing of it, and I knew that I didn't know how severe it was, and then I tried to like, you know, get back and start doing stuff and rehabbing it. Like maybe it's not serious. Maybe I just strained something. I could get back, but yeah, it was. I remember that day. It wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun for Bengals fans either. We was going through it when he went down, bro. Like that took the.
I was going through it a little bit more.
I bet he was going. But because I think coming into the season as a Bengals fan, and a lot of people probably being out of every position, you know, for all the things that happened around Joe Burrow last year, all these different things moving forward, one of the biggest emphases of the offseason was offensive line depth. And that was a huge blow. I think Ace was probably saying that just to kind of let you know, like, whether you know it or not, people were really, really like counting on you, like at the beginning of the season. And we all felt like you would be really, really important. And I think the level of importance kind of conveys over because, like you said, here you are right away. It happened really quick. When did you know? Because you only had about 2 weeks of practice once you came back, right? Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks of practice, Frank comes over to you and says, hey, look, it's time to go.
Yeah, man. Like, we had talked about it and, you know, felt like I had a good chance to, you know, kind of be in that position early. And obviously I got hurt and been, like I said, just coming in and working and keeping myself ready. And I felt like, you know, I did what I needed to, and I showed that I would be able to come in and contribute. And, you know, that's kind of the goal moving forward. Like still a long ways to go. Like I've still been practicing for a couple of weeks, but yeah.
Nah, that's fine. So one of the things like I remember about you is when we first drafted you, you were like the Bengals got a steal. And a lot of people felt like that too. Like people that were in the know about, you know, you as a prospect and things of that nature. How did you know that the Bengals were interested in you?
I didn't. So they called me, really. They were at the Senior Bowl, but they were the other team. Because I was with the Lions coaching staff, and I met with the old O-line coach and our current assistant O-line coach when he had like switched at one point. That's the only contact that I really had with them. But I mean, outside of that, I didn't really have any clue.
Right. I guess. Thank God you ain't go to Lions because this is pretty rough over there this year. It's a little rough over there. Yeah. But coming out, you know, like so. One of the things that I think coming into the year for me personally, I'm like, man, he's like if that's your swing tackle, if that's your backup tackle, whatever, like you are in really, really good shape because at any moment he could come in and tackle. I even was showing clips of different footage. I don't know if you ever saw this. I probably added you on it, but you're a busy man. But at tackle, you really, really flourish. Do you think that tackle is still your best position?
Yeah, man, I've been playing. I mean, this is my first game playing guard since
high school. Okay. So, see, I don't know the back. I'm thinking, like, maybe you played guard in, like, high school or something, and then you, like.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's a little, you're in.
And yeah. So, I mean, this is, like, my first time, like, really playing guard in, like, a game. So.
That's incredible. I mean, that's crazy.
Let's see, but.
Do you understand how crazy that is, though? Like, for somebody that's never played in the National Football like National Football League like myself, whether you played the position or not, for you to come out of there, come off an injury, come straight into a lineup and play the way that you did this past week, that's incredible.
It's definitely tough, but, I mean, that's what they pay us to do. So, you know, you got to show up and be ready. You got to be professional. You got to be a professional for sure.
What is the biggest difference that you feel like when you're, I know like when I talk to other big guys like yourself, like insider, they say like, it's just tighter quarters. You don't really get, you know, like what are some of the different challenges that you're saying already like in that first game that you had, like just playing?
You mean like going from tackle to guard?
Yeah.
It's just way different. Everything happened way quicker. It's really a different like mindset of like your responsibilities and what you have to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's real. So obviously you played at Kansas, right? And you played with Puka Williams. Puka's on the team now. Yeah. Talk about like just having that relationship from you guys, you know, playing with each other in college and now playing with each other for the Bengals.
Yeah, Puka, that's my little bro. And, you know, I'm always got my arm around his neck and, you know, helping him out whatever he needs. since we've been at Kansas, just knowing like how special of a player he is, and just wanting him to flourish and be the best he can. He's a special talent, and you know, I'm glad that he got. I remember he first called me and he was going crazy that he was signing here. But yeah, I'm ready for the moment when he's able to show everybody what he can do.
Facts.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, so talk to us about like Kansas. What was that recruitment process like? What were you narrowed down to? What led you to Kansas ultimately? And then you could, and then after that two-part question, what was your time like at Kansas?
So I originally had committed to Air Force, and I was signed. It was February signing day. I find out, I've told this story like at least 500 times, but I'm allergic to cashews, and my medical waiver got declined to go there. I was going because my brother had gone there 6 years early, and I was familiar with everything. Didn't get recruited kind of how I wanted to, and that was somewhere I felt like comfortable going. But flash forward, my medical waiver get declined. So now it's like June, and their whole system is different because you're going into like basic training, and everybody's already in their camps, freshman reported. So it's June. I can't go because my medical waiver is declined. So now it's June. I ain't got nowhere to go. I'm panicking. Luckily, my high school coach had gone to Kansas. He'd been at my high school for 20 years. He had gone to Kansas because he had a relationship with the head coach, Beatty. And he had gone there. He found out about the situation. We worked something out, and I was there like a week later, rolling. And my time at Kansas, it was good. I obviously didn't win like I wanted to, and that was very difficult. And so, you know, coming here and starting off the season good, even though we had a couple rough last week, it was really important to me to get back on that winning track.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, that's facts. Your mom was a television anchor in Nigeria before she transitioned over to, I believe, the Texas area with the family. What was it like as far as having your mom as a television anchor? Did she kind of prep you for interviews or stuff like that? Were there any tips that she kind of gave you when it came to dealing with media?
A little bit. Not really, though. Mom, I could tell she was on TV because my mom loved to talk. I get on the phone with my mom right now. We're going to be talking for 30 minutes. I don't know about what. She's just going to keep going. But
nah, that's good stuff. What I was going to say, you before Ace asked you the question about, you know, that you were talking about the last 2 weeks, being a little bit rougher in the Browns game, that from the outside looking in, for the most part, like if you didn't see the game or you didn't go rewatch the game, I've rewatched this game like 3-4 times, right? Most people just say, man, the Bengals just got blown up. The crap out, right? For the first two drives of that game, I feel like were the best, arguably probably some of the best offensive sequences. Like everything dialed up was like so fluid. It had this rhythm to it, and it was so amazing. Like in those first two drives, going from the Jets game to that game, because those are the two games that you know you've been active in and started at, right? What does it take? What is the difference? What is so different about the first two drives and arguably a lot of points in the first half of that game? You know, like, what is it going to take for the Bengals to just consistently do that? And what was the difference?
You're saying those two drives compared to, like, what the rest
compared to, like, some of the slow starts in some of the other games, some of the other games where you're just searching for a way not to get three and out, you know, like just hitting on all of your players. Like, damn it, everything I called was a first down on those first two drives. Like what was different about those two drives that you just remember, like, being a part of the game? Like, I don't know if you remember how those two, they were really, really good.
I don't remember. I was tired in drives because it was a long drive. That was my first snap back.
Right.
It was different getting back in there. But, yeah, man, we obviously we're still like a young team. And so, like, we did the flashes have been there, but we just got to be consistent. And I think that's just going to come with us, like, improving and gelling and getting better. Like I said, we've done a lot of good things, but we made a lot of mistakes. And I think as we mature and as we get more experience and as we are able to like cement and find out like these are the certain points in the game that you got to capitalize on to win. Right. I think that, you know, the better. But I think that's definitely going to come with time. And I think we're working our way there.
Definitely. I'm glad you brought that up, because you said like the Bengals, a lot of people don't realize that it's a young team, like you said, with enormous amount of talent, windows where a lot of you guys are in your early 20s. Like, this could be potentially, you know, a good team for years to come. And I think learning from those aspects, like you said, is just only going to help this team get better. But it seems like you guys, even with the two losses, are still extremely confident. And I feel like a lot of people that know about, you know, football and just watching it know that this is still a good team. So how do you feel like you guys are getting ready to prepare to attack the second half of the season?
Man, just kind of like we met on before, like we love just take this week to flush everything out. It's a difficult season, you know. Get your bodies, everybody get their bodies back right. Obviously, I'm a little more fresh since I only played one game. But, you know, get your body right, get your mentals right, and improve on the things that we improved on, and then the things that we got to work on. Obviously, if we can cut the tie on those and be a lot better, then, I mean, you'll see them 5 wins that we got. We can, in the second half, we can get considerable amount more and put ourselves in a position to do what we want to do.
Is the message in I do want to just get update everybody where we're interviewing. This is the Orange is the New Black podcast. We're here with Akeem Adeniji, starting right guard for the Bengals right now. And like somebody said in the comments, please make sure y'all hit the like button. Please make sure y'all hit the subscribe button. If you like this good content and the guys that we're bringing on here, like Akeem or whatever, make sure you hit that like button. Moving forward though, Akeem, like, what is the message in the locker room from maybe not even the coaches or the players? Are y'all saying, like, I made a tweet earlier today. I said, man, how the AFC is so stacked up, you cannot afford to lose more than 3 games. Like, because, like, just looking at the overall picture, the Bengals will have to go 5-3. Anything less than that, you're probably not in the playoffs. Do the players say stuff like that, or is it like you're just getting ready for Vegas?
So, like, we kind of, like, saw, like, a little graphic of, like, our schedule coming up. And the good thing is, even with them past 2 games, like, pretty much every team, like, 80% of the teams that's in the playoff picture right now, we're going to go up against in this next half. So, like, we pretty much control our own destiny. So, I mean, at that point, it's like, if we take care of business and do what we need to do, we're going to be in the right position. And if we don't, then, I mean, it is what it is, because we, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where it's really a great position to be in, because we take care of business like we need to, and then we're going to be playing great ball, and we should be able to have, you know, we'll have good momentum, and we'll be right where we want to be, as opposed to, like, I mean, who knows, like, maybe we win them past 2 games, we coasting and lose right. better, you know what I'm saying?
So right.
Everything's right where we need it to be, I feel like.
Right.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to ask you, Akeem, is, like, with you being there, practicing with the guys day in, day out, you obviously are aware of some of the underrated players that people may not know about on the Bengals team. Who would you say are some of, like, the underrated players that, like, the fans may not know, but, you know, like, they real when it comes to playing football?
I feel like it's a lot. I feel like we got some dogs. We got some young, you know what I'm saying?
But who in the locker room you like, man, this dude right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? We interviewed your boy Quentin Spain probably like a month ago, Ace? Yeah. To me, he is like the unsung hero. Like,
you a dog.
Right. Like, but like, who's somebody that you, I mean, of course people know Joe Burrow and, you know, Jamar Chase or whatever, right? But like, who's somebody that you just think is like super slept on? That is a great question.
Super slept on? I gotta throw my boy Puka in there.
Yeah. Okay. So
when he gets on the scene, he gonna go crazy.
Let's talk. Let's talk Puka real quick. Say, oh, you got another one?
No.
I'm gonna let you think.
I think I was unfortunate. Deontay got hurt. He was doing some good things. I feel like he gets back on the scene, he's gonna be. I feel like we're deep. I feel like we got a lot of good young guys. My boy Joe, I wish he wouldn't have got hurt. Osai.
Yes, sir.
Good things. I feel like we got a lot of good young talent.
Let's go to Puka real quick, right? For people outside of the NFL, I think Bengals fans just like, he's fast, he's shifty, we see the elusiveness. We just like, let him play, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think, because a lot of different things happening, I think, in the world or just in the NFL where somebody has to have like a breakthrough. Like Lamar Jackson has to have a breakthrough at that position. Because of Puka's size and because the NFL probably isn't used to like, they're used to guys that have like, you know, like I guess you're going to play Austin Eckler or somebody later on. He's got a little bit more belt, you know, like to him. But there's not too many reference points in the history of the NFL that will have a guy of Puka's size. So a lot of people say he won't be able to play running back. You got to put him at wide receiver. Like, do you feel like it's got to be one thing or the other? Or do you feel like there's something that we're missing?
I think all of that is just excuses. I mean, I feel like people, like the NFL, they like to have like these kind of like norms and like rules. But I mean, as you can see, like a lot of them have come down. Like people didn't think somebody like Lamar would be a quarterback, but now he, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you put him out there. I've seen him play football, and I've been playing football. This is my second year now in the league. Like, I know what he can do. He can do some damage out there. You know what I'm saying? So. I don't think that really matters. I mean, it's gonna factor into like what the opportunity he's gonna get, obviously. But I think once he gets that, I think it'll be
right.
Yeah. Gosh.
One thing that I always ask everybody, bro, is I need your top five. And since you're a lineman, I need your personal top five, like not even Bengals. It can be NFL offensive lineman for you.
My top five NFL offensive lineman.
Top five.
Right now, or all time.
All time. Let's go all time, and then we could do right now, too. We could do both.
I can't really do right now. I feel like that's, you know what I'm saying?
That's tough. Yeah. Let's do all time, then. Let's do all time.
My top five NFL offensive linemen all time. I got to go Munoz for sure. I got to throw Munoz in there. I got to throw Tyron in there. I grew up a Cowboys fan, so, I mean, he the only current one that I'm going to put in there. I got to go Tyron. Big Larry Allen.
Another Cowboy. I'm in the D.C. area. I absolutely hate the Cowboys. Hate Cowboys, like, with a passion.
I'm mad at it. Throw a right tackle. I'm gonna throw Big Willie in there. Big Willie was nice.
Yes, sir. We gotta go. That's our boy. That's a friend of the show.
Nice.
You need to come. Have you ever worked out with Willie before?
I haven't. I will at some point.
I'm gonna talk. Me and Ace gonna talk to him. Whenever you ready.
Okay. How many? That's what, four?
That's four.
Yeah, that's four. So you got one more.
Man, another one. It's too many. I'm gonna say Ogden. I'm gonna go with
Ogden. Okay, Jonathan Ogden. That's a real good five.
Crazy five. You got five right there. You never lose a football game for sure. Like, you just run for like 9 yards of carry every game. he was talking about top five. Offensive line. We want to know top five. You and Puka get in the whip. Your top five on your playlist.
Top five on my playlist? Me and Puka get in the whip?
Nah, all right. Forget Puka.
Puka play something different.
He going to play. What do you play? A bunch of New Orleans stuff or something like that?
Yeah.
You probably play. Crazy thing is, I went to a No Limit concert the other day.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised Puka wasn't in the building. Because everybody was in camo. They was just like, yeah. It was crazy. Like, I grew up on No Limit. Crazy. You're a lot younger than, well, you're not that young.
Nah.
But No Limit, like, was where I'm at. You get in the whip right now. Top five you playing for us right now. Who you want to hear more than anybody?
Top top five, I gotta go Cole. I gotta go J. Cole for sure. I gotta go Nas for sure. That's the GOAT to me.
Okay.
I'm throwing on some Nas. I might throw on some Drake.
Okay.
To switch it up.
Can't go wrong with Drizzy. He said he not turning on Donda Zim.
I made some Oye, but not the
why you trying to call me out? Like,
Donda not hitting. Like,
he won't dare put no certified lover boy up against no Donda. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, Donda not hitting like that. I'm gonna go some Vince Staples in there.
Okay.
Ace was hating on Staples. I sent him a Staples album the last one like 3-4 months ago. He was hating on Staples.
Nah, I'm tripping on that one.
Nah, Staples cool. He just not my vibe.
He was hating on Staples and he was hating on Dom Kennedy. He was hating on
Dom is my guy.
He ain't rocking with the West Coast.
Dom is definitely my guy. I spent some time on the West Coast. Dom my guy. He trolling now.
Yeah. All right. I got you confused. My bad, Ace.
Nah, you good.
Somebody said you ain't. My man Diddy in the crowd said, "Man, you ain't playing no K Dot."
I ain't really rock with K. I listen to K a little bit.
Once you start saying Nas, then people just automatically say lyricism because you started off with Cole too.
Nas,
they got different styles. They all got like different styles though.
For sure,
they all got different styles.
I used to be a huge Cole fan, but I don't know at what age I fell off of him maybe like 4 or 5 years ago.
Mixtape Cole for me.
I was in North Carolina when Cole was, you know, up and coming. And at that time I was in school. I remember I went to a show. It was like me and like 80 people. Uh-huh. And I was in the front row going crazy. And I don't know like if the last couple years he just kind of mellowed out to me. I almost look at Cole almost like it's like jazz music. You know, like jazz just be kind of like playing in the background or whatever. Never goes real high, never goes real low.
Yeah.
It's just like so chill that it's not really like gets a big response.
Yeah, you got that mixtape Cole, that come up, warm up.
Yeah, that come up.
You get on that. That
That Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Truly all of that, yeah. Couple out.
So in your spare time, Hakeem, like what do you do? Obviously, you just got married and stuff like that. Is it something
where you, I didn't know that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Is it something where you like, you know, you peruse YouTube? Or are you a gamer? Or like what do you do kind of in your time to yourself?
I'll be chilling, man. I love to cook. I've been cooking this by week. I just make some good old jerk chicken, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, that jerk.
I've been adding.
I just had some brown stew yesterday.
Yeah.
Don't play with me.
Yeah. getting a couple things ready. I'm about to throw down for Thanksgiving, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big, I love cooking. I watch some anime.
Which anime you watching? Because some people don't, I'm a Dragon Ball fan, but some people don't consider that real anime.
No, that's real. That's a real anime. That's real. It's just like mainstream anime, though.
Right.
Like it's the OG.
Right.
Nah, I watch whatever it is, as long as it's good to me. Action. It could be a little plot. It could be whatever.
Right.
You recently been married and everything, and then the bye week comes up. Was there any thought like, hey, like let's get away for a little bit, go whatever, or you just was like, nah, we chilling? Because I'm seeing a lot of players, you know, like They getting out of town quick, you know. Was there a conversation where you like, man, let's go somewhere?
Yeah, we're gonna go somewhere for a little bit for the next couple of days. After.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Just get away, but
get like your mind.
I just be chilling and doing what I do. I was looking forward to it. I haven't been able to, you know, throw down like I wanted to in a minute, so that was good. That was fun. You know, getting stuff off your mind, but yeah.
Cooking,
wife appreciate that. I know, like I cook myself, and she like
she probably got with him. She probably got it with him just for that. Just like, yeah, I got me one. Got me one. This man out here cutting up green peppers like that. Yeah,
like get jerk chicken. Yeah, she on that.
Hey, but no, that's like for you know, like coming back off of the bye. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was talking about like different things that you know, like. In my mind, it has to be 5 or 3 or better, whatever. Like, what is one of the goals that you have coming off of the bye, going to Vegas, not shooting craps, not gambling, going out there to handle business. What is one of your main goals that you got, like, to go into that game to get this W?
Like, the main goal?
For you.
Oh, for me?
For you.
I mean, I need to ball out.
And what does that entail? Like, I mean, like, what? How could, like, I guess, is it that channel? Is it that tunnel visioning? Like, if I just win my battle, then that's enough for us to win.
Every snap.
Yeah, every snap. Win every right snap. There.
Work together, be on the same page, you know what I'm saying, communicate and stuff like that, so we can be on the same page as the team. But, like, yeah, take care of my job and trust my teammates to do their job. So
I'm going to read you something real quick. I wish I would have gave us the ace real quick on it. I wish I would have gave it on the screen. I just want y'all to keep this in mind when y'all play the Browns, like, later on in the season. Uh-huh. Defensive coordinator Joe Woods said earlier today, when things in the pass rush and coverage – he felt he could call anything versus the Bengals and it would work. I just want you to relay that message to everybody. He pretty much is calling y'all out to say anything that he called from a defensive coordinator standpoint in that game was working. And the Bengals put no fear in his heart as far as other. Did you not see that, Ace, earlier?
Nah, I think it's – well, I mean, I'm going to just speak for myself because
– I don't know what happens – But Akeem, but I don't know, you know, like, coming up against Vegas, you know, like, that's the focal point. Mm-hmm. But I just want you to know that that's what the Browns defensive coordinator thought of you.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, they beat us, and, I mean, you don't really pay no mind to that. It's football at the end of the day. Like, all of that media press talk is what it is. And, like, at the end of the day, like, we know the mistakes that we made and that we could have fixed so that we could have done what we needed to do. So, I mean, that right. Doesn't really hold too much weight, you know, to us.
Okay. Yeah. I just, for me, like, so yeah. You got to understand, I get on the internet and I'm a professional BS talker. Like, I do this all day. So when I saw that, I said, oh, yeah, I cannot wait. You know, like, so, you know, just talking directly to you, I just wanted to relay that message. That's what the Browns defensive coordinator thinks of you guys. So when that time comes, just think about that. I wonder, Ace, I didn't know if you had another question.
Yeah,
I want to ask Akeem a couple of questions from the crowd.
I was going to respond to what you said. That's kind of wild because, you know, I got the AFC North Talk channel. So it was a lot of Browns fans that was coming at Joe Woods as far as, like, his defense. So it's kind of wild that he said that.
Joe felt really good. I thought like Akeem was, I'm not putting words in Akeem's mouth, but I thought a lot of the Bengals' mistakes on that Sunday were a lot self-inflicted. So I don't think it was anything.
Yeah, it was just really turnovers. Good. That's not going to happen every game, though. Like, that's not something that's common that's going to happen. Right. So
you pretty much spotted them like 16, 20 points because of the, you know, you got the turnover, you on their goal line, so you taking 7 away from your points. So you spotting them points, and I just thought that was like
we're gonna see them at the end of the season. We'll see what it is at the end of the season. That's
you clicked out for a second, he just said, he ain't really paying attention to that.
So. Yeah, nah, it's on to the Las Vegas Raiders and on to, like he said, we control our own destiny. Nobody else can control that.
Factual. I wanted to ask a couple of questions if you got like a couple more minutes, Akeem. I had a couple people that asked some questions. If you're in the chat right now, too, people, make sure y'all click the like button. Subscribe to me and Ace's YouTube channel right now. Make sure you follow Akeem. Akeem, tell everybody where they can follow you at on Twitter and Instagram.
It's _ Hakeem78 on Instagram. I
knew you was about to do that. Like, man, why do people be like, man, I don't even know my name on it.
I really don't be on social media like that. And then Keem78 the Great on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ace, did you have something else before?
Somebody asked, do you like Lil Baby?
Oh yeah, I like Baby.
Willie Lutz said Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Rock Chalk.
Somebody asked, Dave Lennox asked, what's your favorite, your go-to cheat food?
My go-to cheat food.
Not your chef food.
If I could eat anything, I'd probably go to cheesecake.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. All right, yeah.
Who got the best cheesecake?
what you mean, like restaurant type? Yeah. Out here?
I don't know about that.
I don't know about out here.
Like, I mean, like, is it, like, see, like, my wife, she's, like, really particular with her cheesecake. She doesn't even really, she likes Cheesecake Factory, but she'll go to, like these fancy places I don't even know to go get, like, her go-to.
Ruth Chris cheesecake. Got a good cheesecake. I'll tell you that.
Ruth Chris was pretty good. I had that not too long ago. Okay. That was pretty good. It got to be simple, though. I don't like when they be putting fruit and stuff on.
I don't like that either. I just, like, straight up New York style. But, Ace, you already know. They get on me on the show because I'm the weird dude. I don't eat nothing on my pizza. I don't eat none of that stuff. I don't like
I
don't like condiments like that. Like if you tell me you got jerk chicken right now, right? Or you got any dish right now, like I want to taste straight up jerk chicken. I don't want to have no extra pineapples or whatever sprinkled. Like, no, I want to taste the actual food itself. Like so I'm like that with everything. And I'm a little extreme with it sometimes.
I feel that though.
I just saw like a couple questions. Damn it, huh? All right, Zach.
Somebody, Eric Ryan said, toughest player that you had to block so far.
Saw that one. I was trying to find that.
Toughest player I had to block so far.
This year and last year and the year before. You know what I'm saying? Not just this year.
I don't know.
He don't want to give him that clout. he don't want to get nobody.
That's tough because he had to play some left tackle last year. So that's it might be pretty tough.
When we were asking about underrated, somebody said Cheetah Bay.
Oh, Cheeto like that. I feel like Cheeto been going crazy. See, that's why it was hard for me to say underrated because I don't know who, you know.
I think it's not even underrated. I just feel like he, from, you know, like a fan standpoint, we knew that, you know, okay, here's a guy. But the expectations, I don't think were, you know, like, I don't think that's even underrated. And then as soon as he start balling out, it's like, I don't know, fans are weird. They just be like, he's on an island and everything. Like, nobody thought that before the season. Like, I know I surely didn't think that he was going to just come out and ball like that. Like,
Nigerian, man.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Man, you gotta talk to him for it. I've been trying. I've talked to him a couple different times. I said, man, you need to come on here. So,
Cheeto, that's my guy, bro. Before when we signed him, I was like, y'all gonna be sleep on Cheeto, but Cheeto about to turn up this year.
You need to talk to him and tell him he need to get on here. I don't think we have any other ones that I wanted to really read on here, but I do want to just say, man, I really, really appreciate you coming on here and making this time out. I wish you many blessings, you and your new wife. I'm very, very happy that you're on this team. I'm really, really happy that you came back from your injury the way that you did and keep on doing what you've been doing because it's been working so far. So I really, really appreciate you, the Who Dey Nation. We 100% appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate y'all for having me on, my man.
Yeah, no doubt. And before we get out, my man Diddy said he wanted to salute y'all linemen for having Joe back this past game. So appreciate that. Appreciate that, you major. For jumping on as well, Hakeem. Is there anywhere that people can find you before we get you out of here?
Is that find me?
Yeah.
I think I already put it. I put it my handle and stuff like that.
Yeah, on the Twitter, Instagram.
Okay, so yeah, check back and check the handle. But Hakeem, we appreciate you for joining us. And this is the Orange is the New Black podcast. Zim, we're going to end this with a yes,
Sirski.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in.